When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's pretty explosive, and he's competitive. I mean, at the end of the day, he's got all these physical attributes, but then it's what he's got inside of him, man. He's the ultimate competitor, man. That's what separates him from a lot of guys. He's fearless. It's why those guys, you know, they play the way they do for him. He's not going to give it up, and he's going to do whatever it takes to get the next first down or get the touchdown. And when they need him in crunch time, he's going to show up. He won't give up. And I think that's what makes him who he is, his competitiveness.
Lions coach Dan Campbell, knowing that he and defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn have a tough task this week.
They're dealing with the Winter Soldier.
How do you bottle up Josh Allen? Because the Rams, well, their answer was get out to a big enough lead, block a punt for a touchdown, and hope everything's okay. Hope that 17 points isn't too much to overcome. And ultimately it wasn't. Because the Bills did all in all, they fell short.
I mean, look how close they were, though, and they forced one punt. Well, two, technically, with the end of the game. One punt in game time.
Which, ready? Once again, I'm calling for a new special teams coordinator next year.
Mr. Frowney, please exit.
Yep. He is referring to Matthew Smiley. He's calling Mr. Frowney because he doesn't make you smile. He makes you sad.
No.
The special teams has made this fan base sad all throughout the season here.
Since 13 seconds. And when Smiley took over after that, that was it.
Once Heath Farwell left, that unit has suffered. Whether it was through Tyler Bass, whether it was through other aspects, they've not been as
12 men on
capable.
The field ring a bell last year.
And ready? 12 men on the field last year.
This year.
9 on the field this year.
Yes.
This is the second time that we've, and I did this Monday with Josh on the morning show. I brought it up. There was a clip from Phineas and Ferb where I brought in the two nickels thing.
Oh, God.
So the second time that the Bills did not have 11 players on the field for a critical special teams play at the end of a game. For each time that would happen, I would have two nickels. It's not much, but it's weird that it's happened twice.
Yeah, right. It's true, though. There's no excuse. The 9 men on the punt?
That's worse.
That is arguably worse because you...
Actually, no.
No, because you lost the game with the 12 men on the field.
You lost the game with the block punt.
You did. And that was bad, too. But
and you lost the game legitimately against Denver last year because of
that. That 12 men on the field...
It was a rush drill.
Yes.
Why not just leave the defense on and make them try to kick this thing on a rush situation?
Exactly. And then just the 9 men on the field is what a sorry excuse to end that game. You're not even going to try to run it or anything like that.
Well, you couldn't because you didn't have enough players on the field.
That's what I'm saying. But like,
you couldn't block the punt, which is what I thought they were going to have to do. You can't run a punt block when you have less people.
Than the kicking team.
Than the kicking guarding.
Yes.
So, ready? You're effectively, with 9 players on the field, you had as many people as they had blockers on the interior. Because there's 2 players on the outside and the punter. Ready? That's 3. So the rest, there's 8 players. Codrington's back there. What do you have up front? 8 players.
Mm-hmm.
You had 0 tactical advantage. And God forbid they put one of the gunners inside, too. You would have had more blockers than people rushing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no. Like
It's abysmal. It's ridiculous.
I'm beyond done with Matthew Smiley.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall. Just what was that?
What happened?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
A fly on the bench, if you will, because it's outside. But, like...
Either way.
Or no, they were in SoFi. But it's just like... He's
bench
been...
still counts.
Yeah. He's been a consistent issue.
Yes.
There's been consistent worry about special teams. And you know what? Tyler Bass... I'm not going to sit here and say it's not all his fault, but it might not be the way that things are handled. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
But
and the
still,
way you know,
I've seen enough from special teams that you need to make a change because
yeah, even without
in
the,
terms
the
of DVOA,
stuff. Yeah,
the Bills' defense is 10th,
mm-hmm.
offense is 4th. Special teams is 29th.
Mm-hmm. It's almost the worst in the NFL. You're close.
It's among the worst in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bills now, moving on, they have the Lions. It's a tough task. And how are they going to get it done? Well, there's a lot of ways. For me, it's defensive line has to play better than they did against the Rams. Because you put that kind of result out there, it's not going to work. And then Allen has to be Allen in this game.
Yeah, it's a cape game.
It's a cape game.
It turned into one. This one could turn into one. Who knows?
Well, who knows? But we'll get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Mike in Lakewood, you have been waiting patiently. I appreciate that. Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, gentlemen. I'd like to preface this by saying I've been loving this season, and I'm not happy with the three losses, but like everybody else in Western New York, I have a man crush on Josh, but he's a superstar. But I think the bend don't break style of defense that we run is good enough to beat B-minus teams and below. But when you have a team that is talented to move the ball and a really good team, you can't allow them to drive, make 7-8 minute drives. They're just going to kill you. So our defensive line itself is not getting it, you know, not getting the job done. We need to manufacture some pressure. Then on offense, I would rather take chances and give up a quick score than go back to Josh, run 5 wide, mix in some no huddle, put the ball in the hands of the greatest football player in the NFL right now, and let's make it a track meet. Let's do that, and you know, let the chips fall where they may. And I think if you do that, you're going to have a better chance of winning than trying to play conservative.
Mike, I appreciate the call, and I like the take, man.
Yeah, it's definitely a way to look at it, for
also,
sure.
Also, just as a neutral NFL fan, who doesn't like a good track meet?
Yeah, I mean, the Bills-Niners game, right? The whole preview of that was Kelly and Steve Young. The yes. game with no punts.
The game with no punts.
And
track meet.
It
Let's
was
go.
A track meet. Just whoever had the ball as the minutes were
Bills
coming
Rams
down.
Bills turned into a track meet.
It
At
did.
First, it was a game that was like, all right, well, this is over. They're down by 17. Now what? But then Josh Allen said, hold on.
Yeah. Hold my brewski here.
I'm going to make this a game.
Yep.
So who doesn't love a good track meet? Well, defensive coordinators for one. Defensive
yeah.
coaches for another. And I know Sean McDermott is one of those things. He's not a coordinator anymore. He's just a defensive-minded coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he doesn't like the idea of a track meet.
But I don't think he's going to shy away from it if it comes down to it, because you see the Bills adjust to that.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you know who I think is down for a track meet?
Dan Campbell.
Joe Brady.
Oh, Joe Brady, yeah. But I think Dan Campbell's going to bite a kneecap off if it's a track meet. He's excited.
Joe Brady also, though, like he does have a favoritism toward like balance and running the football and trying to slow things down a little bit for you.
Mm-hmm.
But last week showed if he needs to dial it up on a case of necessity, he's going to.
Yeah.
And even the Chiefs game. The second half of the Chiefs game, they were trying to run the football in the first half, and it really wasn't working because the Chiefs have one of the best run defenses in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe 3rd overall.
Okay. That sounds
third
about
overall
right.
at the time of that game.
Right. Might have changed now. But
that might have strengthened because of the Bills game.
Yeah.
But after that, I would have to look and clarify. But considering that they were a top run unit, though, Joe Brady scrapped the plans, scrapped the idea of balance, and said, Josh Allen, go win us this football game. And he did. So I have more confidence than ever in the offense that is peaking at the right time and yet at the same time has unfulfilled potential.
Oh, yeah. And especially,
think about that. A team that just scored 42
points. Yep. In a loss.
Has untapped potential.
Mm-hmm.
Keon Coleman comes back. He's a big play element for you, and Josh Allen loves throwing one-on-one balls to him on the perimeter.
When he and Cooper were healthy together, those two were highly efficient.
Amari Cooper had 14 targets against the Rams.
He did.
Allen is force-feeding chemistry to Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we see during the middle of the season? Mac Hollins getting a bunch of targets because Khalil Shakir was hurt. Keon Coleman wasn't efficient with his target share. So like there was a real struggle amongst the wide receivers. And now Amari Cooper is getting the same treatment. He's getting a bunch of targets. It's not all there. He only got 6 catches on 14. That's not a great percentage.
No, shooting under 50.
Shooting under 50 on the target share. But what does that do? leads to a transition of getting used to the quarterback. It's used to the receiver. He's getting the players are getting used to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what we saw with Mac Hollins, who since the Houston game
yep.
has become one of the more efficient targets
yep.
for Josh Allen.
Where we joked he couldn't track a deep ball. He's done that a couple times
yes.
successfully now.
And now
and
Mac Hollins
is doing very well. Yeah.
Now Mac Hollins has become a very efficient depth chart wide receiver for this team.
It's all those science experiments throughout the bye week on his TikTok.
But also it's he's getting more acclimated with the quarterback.
It's the experience.
And Amari Cooper is now getting more acclimated.
Exactly.
With the quarterback. And if we get a full bore Amari Cooper toward the playoffs, look the heck out.
Well, he's a big reason the Bills, Josh's legs, sure, and Josh Allen putting the cape on. If he didn't have Amari Cooper, that was not going to be that close.
Exactly.
It was a big part of why it was that close.
Yeah, it was. But the thing is that it was a, Josh Allen is trusting these receivers now to win on the outside with one-on-one matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Nate brought up that Dalton Kincaid might be back and how that could be a boon. And I'm over here sitting and thinking, he's still just a tight end. And that was something that Joe and I brought up on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Of
he is a tight end.
He's a tight end.
He's not
and
a wide receiver.
And the Bills don't really utilize that.
No.
Other than Kenneth Dorsey.
Yeah, he was the big two tight end set guy.
Dorsey was the two tight end guy,
mm-hmm.
and the Bills got rid of Dorsey before Kincaid's first season even finished.
Yep, and Dable was big on Knox. That's where Knox saw
yes.
most of his production. I mean,
but Brady's
not a big use of tight ends all the time in the receiving game.
I'm starting to think it's Allen.
You think?
Yes.
You think he likes the wideouts?
He likes wideouts. He likes one-on-one matchups, and he likes being able to grab yards where people don't expect them
He'll
to be.
He'll find the tight ends, though. He's found Dawson Knox. He's found Dalton Kincaid.
He's found them, but mm-hmm. Kincaid's expectations to his reality is still he is a tight end.
Well, it's almost what happened with Knox, right?
Yeah.
Like and the payment of being that big wide receiving tight end, right?
Yeah.
And then he hasn't been that,
yeah.
whether injury or not.
And I'm
it's
starting,
just the way
I'm
it
starting
is.
To think the quarterback just doesn't target them as much as you would want him to.
Well, look at how many wide receivers you have to spread the ball out to.
And now that's
yeah.
now that's okay.
Yeah, right.
Now it's okay. But I'm starting to really think that it was Dorsey that really pounded the table for the first round pick of Kincaid
mm-hmm.
and why there were such high expectations for him. Heading into this season, a team where Dorsey was not.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's still nice to have both Knox and Kincaid in whatever role they are in.
Correct.
But you're absolutely right. I think that might be an Allen thing.
Yes.
And I'm not complaining because it's working. Whatever
it's whatever Allen's yeah. doing, it's working.
Yeah.
And that's the big key. Go out to Rochester talking to Luke here. Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Good. I think you guys have a great point there with Joe Brady, the maturation of Joe Brady to understand the passing skills of Allen and what he has finally is coming to fruition, it seems. But I'm really, you guys say that you're going to be sort of like counselors today. I'm still sick of McDermott. He still doesn't realize that that timeout was the absolutely wrong tactical thing to do. Monday sort of acknowledged if we had something back, it might be that, but in a way that it related to the play call itself and not just the blunder of knee-jerk calling it. If he didn't call it, they could have got a playoff within 20 seconds and saved 20. I think they could have done it between 10 and 15. But him not realizing that he just threw away at least 20 seconds with idiocy is still lingering and just brings no faith in him at all. But they'll still win tomorrow.
And that's the ultimate catch-22, Luke, wouldn't you say? That you know you have faith that they're going to win tomorrow, and yet you have serious doubts about the head coach. It kind of tells you everything about McDermott in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be here to say, let's remember some of the good things that he does do. Am I going to say that the timeout wasn't a mistake? No. Don't ever put that on me.
No.
I will make sure to say that was tactically a bad idea. However, he was not.
We all said it in the moment.
He was also solely not complicit.
Mm-hmm.
He was not alone. Joe Brady should have called a passing play, throwing the football. If you need to bail yourself out on fourth down, make that play call.
Exactly.
But because then if you're passing the football, and this is all you know,
hindsight's 2020
Monday.
You're going at a high percentage play on third down to get into the end zone.
Not even third down; it was first down because it was a reset because of a pass interference call.
You're right. So you're going on a normally high percentage play with pushing Allen into the end zone because he's just a truck.
It's a 95 percenter.
Yeah.
The problem was this, and it was two pronged. One, not having a play call immediately established in case of failure,
Or getting right back into it to do it again.
Getting right back to the line.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the very understandable fear of you're in a dog pile. How long is it going to take to get these players out and capably ready for the next play call that you may or may not even have in the chamber?
The Rams guys might be nice and slow to get up.
Yep.
And on top of Allen, on top of your linemen.
And I do think 30 seconds probably ticks off the clock before a flag is thrown.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm rolling over nice and slowly.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not rushing.
Yeah.
Basically, it's just don't touch the football. Don't touch the football. Don't grab a player. Take your time getting up. Mm-hmm. Clock's on your side, Rams. Have fun.
Yeah.
So
they had control at that point.
What I would say is all that that timeout ultimately gave you was effectively low percentage miracle chances.
Yeah, with the onside kick.
Not even the onside kick. Say they get the ball back after the Rams punted away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have seconds.
What's the play?
Yeah, it's one shot to the end zone.
It's a shot to the end zone, hook and lateral.
Yeah, you're just going to start throwing it behind you. And
it's not a non-zero.
It's not a winning formula.
It's not a non-zero chance, mm-hmm. but it's a low percentage chance that you're going to win that football game in that moment, which is why I still will say you lost the game because of special teams. That punt block returned for a touchdown doomed you. That was the difference.
Take that away.
Because you punted the football twice in that game. One of them was blocked. The Rams punted this game twice.
One to end it, and one they genuinely got stopped.
One they genuinely got stopped late, and more hope was being injected into Bills fans.
It was bad. We were sitting here starting to get excited again.
We were like,
what the hell is
going on here? But the problem is you're getting a low percentage play back from that timeout.
Yeah.
So while it is tactically still a bad move, ultimately it didn't matter. And that's okay to admit that. Admit both sides of that. Which is Sean McDermott in a nutshell. He does plenty good for this team. And even two games prior to that, he lets Josh Allen
do it himself
and refuse to kick a field goal of death.
The thing where
he would have done that in the past.
Yes, I agree. That's where I was going to say. You've seen growth, I think, in the right direction. And the thing is,
the Bills also lose so infrequently that every time that this happens, it's under a microscope.
It is. It's not like they don't go on 8-game losing streaks.
We got to talk about them again, don't we?
Yeah.
Brayton Wilson.
Yeah.
Our friend from right down the hall on WBEN and, of course, a longtime member here of the station and WGR. Brayton Wilson joins us coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, you're listening to WGR.
Peyton Krebs, right side, feeds it through. Power walks in, scores! Owen Power lets it rip, and the Sabres are right back in it with 4:51 left in the third. It's 2-1 New York. Hang on.
Owen Power, and he cut the lead to 2-1, and by God, did he need it in that moment. Power got benched in the first period after some poor play that led to the Rangers' power play goal that made it 1-0. He was also the victim of a heads-up play by Riley Smith, who banked it off of Power into the net to make it 2-0. And then Power responds, gets himself in there, creates a grand lane to shoot, and he just fires it. It goes in, posts it in, which is one of the most satisfying things if you ever play hockey.
Oh, yeah.
One of the most satisfying things you'll ever feel is posting in.
Dink.
The sound it makes and knowing that it's in the net. But unfortunately, it was too late because the Rangers would score an empty net goal. Tage Thompson would respond and they would lose 3-2 back on Monday against the New York Rangers. The Sabres, they play hockey tonight. I don't know how to feel about it. And how are we going to get help with that? Well, we're going to talk to Brayton Wilson, as Brayton will join us on the West Hur hotline for this moment here.
Hello there, Derek. When are you going to go bar down and in when we're on the ice?
Hang on. Okay, so first of all, you were on the ice one of the coolest times that happened. You were literally on the ice with me. The next time, I don't know. I'm bad. But I know that the last time that it happened was 2019, when I then celebrated so hard that Chopin Bulldog made fun of me live on that radio.
Yeah, I don't remember that being bar down, but I mean, either way.
Oh, it was.
That's the celebration call?
Yes, yeah. That's the celebration call.
Hi, Brayton.
Hi, Joe.
So,
are you going bar down too?
Yeah.
When?
I don't know.
Next year, he's going to join the power play
I probably
team.
Will.
Yes,
I,
please.
I did used to dabble in hockey. So
I can't wait to have
I was a defensive nightmare, though. I was just a punisher. I wasn't great at stick handling.
You can't do that.
No, I know that. Yeah, but, you know, just take people out.
Joe Kelly just lays out
the executioner.
Someone. Joe Kelly just lays out poor Finke. So, Brayton, I didn't, as much as I would love to talk 11 day with you here, that's not the reason we have you here today. The Sabres play tonight, and it's a chance to get rid of the 8-game losing streak, something that Nashville did the other day. They got rid of theirs.
Yes.
Can the Sabres do the same against a red-hot Washington Capitals team that is still thriving without Alex Ovechkin? That's the challenge for them tonight.
It's going to be tough. They're one of the better teams in the NHL right now. They're actually the top team in the Eastern Conference, and they're second overall in the NHL. They've been playing some really good hockey, as you mentioned, without Alex Ovechkin, who's still on the quest to break the all-time scoring record. And look, I mean, Washington, they may not be the most they may not be made up of the most superstar talent in the league, but they've just got everything going right now. They're playing really well. You know, they've got a guy like Dylan Strome leading the team and scoring with 36 points in 28 games. I mean, Dylan Strome, former third overall pick in 2015, who hasn't exactly developed into one of the better talents from that draft class, but all of a sudden it seems like he's starting to roll pretty well. I mean, they got Connor McMichael scoring 15 goals and tied with Ovechkin for the team lead. And even a guy like Pierre-Luc Dubois, while he's been highly criticized for maybe the way he conducts himself on and maybe a little off the ice, he's even found himself with 20 points in 28 games. So, while that team is not exactly the most compelling team out there, and while it may maybe not be the most exciting team, they're still winning hockey games, and they're still, you know, putting up really good production. As you know, they've gone 7-2-1 in their last 10 games. They're on a 3-game win streak themselves, and it's not going to be easy for the Sabres, that's for sure.
Brayton Wilson joining us here on the West Hura Hotline. Sabres taking on the Washington Capitals tonight. Man,
I think that's the consensus,
right? No, this is the problem. I now have to dive into the Sabres themselves. And Brayton, there's been a litany of reasons that this team has not been able to get things going. But now the story as of late, based on Monday's game, is Lindy Ruff is not having any reservations when it comes to benching players for entireties of a period at this point, trying to send a stronger message.
Yeah, we saw it with Owen Power in the first period, and then we saw it with J.J. Paterka in the second period the other night against the Rangers. If you're going to make mistakes out there and you're going to cost your team, whether it be a goal or a scoring chance against, Lindy Ruff, I think, has had enough of seeing these constant mistakes being made over and over again by the same players out there. It's time that, you know, these guys, and the funny thing is, they in the offseason, they all said, we want accountability. We want someone to hold us accountable. We heard it from Tage Thompson. We heard it from Alex Tuch. We heard it from Dylan Cousins. And Lindy Ruff is now, I think, after a while, he didn't necessarily want to get to a point where he had to kind of lay down the hammer in that style of accountability. But, I mean, you're in the middle of an 8-game losing streak. You're in the middle of some of the worst hockey that you've played in the last few years. And with Lindy Ruff at this point, he's got to find a way to get these guys out of a slump, and Lindy Ruff has said that. It's on him and his coaching staff to figure this out, get these players out of the slump that they're currently in, and figure out a way to win a hockey game. And again, it's not going to be easy against this Washington Capitals team. I think they're beatable. It's not that they are, you know, the best. They're one of the better teams right now in the NHL, but that's looking at the stat sheet, looking at how things stand right now. When you look at the team on paper, I don't think of this team as a really sexy team or anything like that. Their goaltending with Logan Thompson and Charlie Lindgren has been good, but again, I certainly don't think that they're anything that's, you know, I get it. We're only, you know, 20, 30 some odd games into the season, and we still got a lot of hockey left to play. But the Washington Capitals, to me, I don't know, just don't, they don't speak sexy to me whatsoever on the ice. So, you know, I think this is a winnable game for the Sabres. It's not going to be easy, but they've got to come out and they've got to set the tone really early. They've got to come out and they've got to control the play against this team and figure out ways to put the puck in the back of the net. I mean, that's something that has plagued this team, especially over the last several games. They're just not scoring at the capacity that they should be, at the consistency they should be. They miss way too many nets, and they just got to find their game and stick to that game and not take the foot off the gas whatsoever. I think that's what's costed them, especially in the games where they've lost, where they've had leads, and then they lose those leads and end up losing, whether they get a loser point or not. So that's going to be a key for this game, especially, and really going forward, is to find that consistency and just don't let up. Don't let the other team back in. Don't open that door whatsoever.
Brayton, of course, one of the main issues when it comes to those kinds of games where they've let other teams back into games, it does look like, based on especially post-game comments from Tage Thompson a couple games ago, where he had mentioned that this team is worried about making the next mistake and everything like that, it seems that Rasmus Dahlin's presence is, and it being missing right now, is a huge factor in terms of these defensive breakdowns, so to say, and missing their captain at the moment.
Well, Rasmus Dahlin brings something to the group that not a lot of those players can do. And even then, I think there's still so much more with Rasmus Dahlin that could be unleashed. Just he the way he presents himself on the ice, the way he moves on the ice. And let's face it, Rasmus Dahlin over the years, I think, you know, outside of maybe Don Granato, has been kind of confined. They haven't kind of opened that box for him yet. I mean, when he was a prospect and he was coming up, and I get it, you know, Europe is a bigger ice rink and more skill can thrive out there. But he's a guy that has that ability to stretch the ice. He has the ability to go end to end. He has the ability to really be an offensive catalyst out there. And I think in the last few years, it just hasn't been there for him. And I don't know if they're holding him back or they're trying to teach him that, you know, he has to be more defensively responsible, which I get, you know, but I think you have guys that, I mean, you have to be a tandem out there, especially on the blue line. And, I mean, I would like to see Rasmus Dahlin be able to spread his wings a little bit more. I would like to see him be able to be more of an offensive catalyst out there. Yes, he has to be responsibly defensive. He has to be responsible defensively, and Lindy Ruff is working on the entire group with that. But I think there's a lot that goes into it where I think sometimes, and it's not just Dahlin, I think it's a lot of these players, they get in their own heads. They get the puck, and it's like, oh, should I do this or should I not do this? I'm too worried to make this mistake. I want to be able to do this, but I don't want to get punished for it. And it's just finding that groove and finding the way to just play free out there and just being able to let your skills come out in the best circumstances. I mean, it is amazing how you watch some of these other teams around the league. And I mean, the other night I was watching Utah Hockey Club for some odd reason. And the way that some of those young guys move the puck, it seems like they always find a way to find the open man or find the best scoring chance. And it just seems so effortless with some of these teams, the way they see the ice, they move the puck, and a lot of it is just fearlessness. It's just, we're trying to go out there, create offense, and go be a scoring team, be a successful team. Yes, they have their flaws defensively here and there. Other, you know, a lot of teams do, but it just is amazing how watching this Sabres team, they look so trepid to make a mistake. They don't want to find... They find the weirdest of ways to turn the puck over. They find the weirdest of ways to miss on their opportunities. And a little more aggressiveness, a little more aggressive thinking with the offense, that's what this team needs to do. And then if that happens, I think that allow them to play free. It'll allow them to play with a little more confidence. This Sabres team, yes, losing sucks, and they've lost 8 in a row, but this team does not look confident at all right there on the ice.
Brayton, earlier today, Derek and I were speaking about you know, Kevin Adams possibly trading an asset. Our own Brian Koziel tweets out, if Kevin Adams were to make a trade, who would you feel the most comfortable trading away? Cousins, Tuck, Power, Levi. Cousins is currently leading the poll at about 39% of the vote. What are your thoughts on possibly trading away an asset at this point? And the way Cousins has played, it seems he plays better in other uniforms than a Sabres one.
Well, I mean, I know that that Elliot Friedman, I think it is 32 Thoughts, had said that teams were calling Kevin Adams about the availability of Dylan Cousins. And, man, I was talking with Zach Jones yesterday, just for a brief moment, about the way that Dylan Cousins has played recently. And Paul has said this on social media, and I've seen others. You know, after the one fight he got in last season with Garnett Hathaway with the Flyers, he just does not look the same player. He's again one of those players that looks extremely timid to make a mistake. He looks like a guy that anytime the puck hits his stick, he's got the yips. He doesn't make the right play. The puck jumps on him for some odd reason. He creates a turnover and the puck goes back the other way for a scoring chance. He's one of the key guys, at least in my opinion, that he is one that is so afraid to make a mistake, overthinking the puck, you know, with the puck on his stick. It just seems like he's got so many thoughts going on in his head, and it's overwhelming for some of these guys. Jack Quinn's another guy. Seems like anytime the puck gets on his stick, he has so many thoughts running through his head of like, okay, am I going to pass the puck? Am I going to shoot the puck? Should I deke this guy? Should I toe drag? Should I take the puck down to the corner? Should I dump and chase? It's just so many things going through the head, and it seems like it's overwhelming for these guys. Dylan Cousins right now, to me, and I even hate to say this, but it just seems to me he's regressed almost like we saw with Rasmus Ristolainen so many years ago, where it's just he came into this league and showed flashes of being this really good defensive talent and maybe something that could blossom into a really good two-way defenseman. And Cousins, he showed a lot of flashes. He had a 30-goal season, and we thought, great, he's going to be a good two-way second-line center. And really, in the last season and a half, it's just seemed like he's regressed so badly that we're just sitting there just like, what is going on with him? What has happened to Dylan Cousins on the ice? And I don't know at this point. I don't know what type of value he has if any team is going to acquire. I mean, it's great if it's indeed true that teams are calling to inquire about Dylan Cousins, but what is he going to be worth on the trade market? I don't even know. I really don't know what any of these players are going to be worth on the trade market if they trade him. I mean, there are certain players I definitely don't want to trade. Rasmus Dahlin obviously is one of them. I don't want to trade Bowen Byram. I think Bowen Byram is the second best defenseman in the group right now. He's a guy that I don't want to have, you know, be a piece that they acquired out of the Casey Mittelstadt trade, the 1-for-1 trade. But then, you know, a couple years later, things don't really go all that well, and he's coming up on a contract, and you end up with a Brandon Montour situation where you got a guy who has shown a lot of good flashes in the NHL as a defenseman. He comes to a team that just isn't run really well, or, you know, just doesn't have it, and then you trade him and he goes out and he's another guy that goes and wins a Stanley Cup, has really great success from the blue line, and then this past offseason earns a big contract from Seattle. I don't want that to be Bowen Byram. I want Bowen Byram to be here. I think he's one of the better defensemen in this group. Obviously, Tage Thompson, you don't want to move. I mean, I'm still high on J.J. Paterka. I think he's just in a slump right now. And the other two guys that I think have been the best Sabres players, especially over the last handful of games, have been Zach Benson and Peyton Krebs. I know Peyton Krebs maybe isn't exactly the analytics darling in the last few games that I've seen, but he certainly is a guy that's just every time he steps on the ice, he's giving it 110%. He's making the most of his opportunities when he's in the offensive zone. He's playing solid in the defensive end. You know, those guys, you don't necessarily, I mean, you know, Peyton Krebs, I'm not sure, but Zach Benson is certainly a guy that I think should be looked at as a future piece here. It's really tough with this team because obviously when you lose and you're continuing to play in this culture, I don't know what type of value a lot of these players are going to have. So it's tough. It's tough to really think about what type of value you could get in a trade. I don't know. Until they start winning, it's tough to tell.
Honestly, just to answer that last question there, all it takes is one GM with stupid juice.
Yeah.
because Cam Fowler got traded to St. Louis, and I feel like that's like 5 years too late. So
Yeah, but I mean, there's the Peter Chiarellis, the Chuck Fletchers, they're not there. They're not there right now.
No, but I like, mean, there's always that other GM. Maybe like, then, someone else has to spiritually take their place, Brayden. Though it's the old boys club. It cannot ever die. So it just gets, there's a spiritual successor to your Pierre Dorions, your Mark Bergevins, your Peter Chiarellis, mm-hmm. your, who was Vancouver's guy for the longest time?
Oh, Jim Benning.
Jim Benning. See, yeah, we have enough spiritual successors here that
the universe fills the vacuum. Someone
is going to take that place, and we'll see what happens there. But as for the Sabres, Brayden, the one thing they have going for them as we wrap things up, they are 4-0-4 against the Washington Capitals in their last eight. We need one of those fours to go up, and it's not the second one.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, that's certainly true, is that you don't want that. You don't want an overtime loss.
Oh, my God.
There's no – at this point, there's I'll no moral inside. Victories with this team. You can't – the way that this team has played and the slump that they've been on, moral victories are just – it doesn't matter anymore. You know, maybe earlier this season, it was just like, oh, hey, and I think I even tweeted this out and I still got flack for it. It was just like, hey, the Sabres actually got an overtime loss tonight. Yes, it sucks to lose, but at the same point, they didn't get a lot of overtime losses last season. And at this point of the season, those type of moral victories are just not going to cut it anymore. They
I feel like it's
win.
A monkey's paw, dude. We finally are getting them, and it's in an 8-game losing streak.
Like, realistically, the Sabres could be 10 games straight of losing with losses to Washington and Toronto. Even if those two games, both of those games, let's just hypothetically say, go to overtime and they get 2 points out of them, I don't know what type of moral victory you can take out of that anymore. It's just you keep losing games. What is that going to do for not just the players in that locker room, but the fan base as well? like there's a lot of fans, and it's surprising because I'm surprised at how many fans are still bought in and engaged, because I think we've had this whole thought of, well, there's a lot of fans out there that have already turned apathetic. I'm surprised that there are a lot of fans out there that still are bought into this team and hopeful that they can turn things around. The worst thing for any sports franchise is apathy, and they've got to figure out a way to get off this get off this slump, get out of this rut that they're in, and really turn things around immediately. I mean, for crying out loud, you've got a guy like Oliver Wahlstrom on waivers today. He's a guy that was a former first-round pick who has the ability to score. Why not just go out and take a flyer on him and see, because he's a guy that needs a change of scenery. He's playing on an Islanders team that's a defensive just misery pit right now. They may win, but they're boring. They're a terrible hockey team offensively. Maybe he comes to a team like Buffalo and he finds a scoring touch again or something like that. I don't know. You just got to try anything at this point to try to get this team out of this losing skid, out of this rut, in order to salvage anything that you can before Christmas, get into any sort of contention by Christmas. Because right now, you're sitting at 26 points in the standings. You are 6 points back of the second wild card spot that's held by Philadelphia right now. You don't get wins this weekend. I don't know what more you can say at this point to be like, well, they're still not out of it. We've seen weirder circumstances, I understand, but I've run out of words to say with this team, just because it is so frustrating to watch this group continuously not being able to hit the net, not continuously finding ways to hold on to leads when they actually do score. It's got to end soon. It has to at some point. And Lindy Ruff and the coaching staff have just got to find a way, and the players have got to find a way to get mentally stronger in order to avoid another rebuild. Let's just admit it here. Another rebuild. There's already talk that some people are just like, well, here we go again. Like, this is just another. We're just setting ourselves for rebuilding once again. Like, that can't happen again.
It can't happen. And Brayden, speaking of spiritual successors, you, along with Howard Simon, because we are super late to the break, we got to get going, my friend.
I know. Thanks for having me on, you guys. Enjoy
no
the rest of your day.
Thanks, Brayden.
Go Bills and go Sabres.
Go Bills and go
Sabres. And Bandits.
Yes, and yeah, Bandits. Brayton Wilson joining us there on the West Her Hotline. Next segment is not going to exist because we're way over the break. We'll be here and back in a flash.
I do have something I want to throw in after the break.
Sure, yeah. If it takes like 30 seconds.
It will. It's quick.
Hey, I'm a segment. We're going. 1 o'clock hour coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.